In this module, we're going to learn how to build policies with Chef. I'm Damien Caro, technical evangelist at Microsoft.
And I'm Steve Morawski. I'm a community software development engineer at Chef.
So in this module, we're going to understand a bit more how resources, recipes, and cookbook work together. We're going to build one, actually. We're going to apply that through a demo on our machines. We're going to understand how and why you want to separate the data from the policy to make sure that they are totally isolated. And finally, we'll have a demo.
As always.
As always.
Hey, we can't do these things without demos.
Demos have to be there. So can you tell us a bit more what is the difference between a resource, a recipe, a cookbook? I get the idea how they're connected to each other, but I'm not sure I totally understand when I should use which one.
Okay. Yep, you bet. So so the resource is kind of that building block, that real, low level, this is one particular little bit of my infrastructure I want to model. Resources are composed into recipes, and recipes are collected in cookbooks. Now, when I have multiple recipes in a cookbook, that doesn't mean all of those recipes have to apply to a machine. They're just a library of things that I can pick from to, if I have a cookbook, if I'm actually cooking and I have a cookbook, like I've got an old Paul Prudhomme cookbook, just because I want to make one recipe out of there doesn't mean I have to make everything in the cookbook.
Yeah, if I want to make a turkey, I'm not going to take the five different recipes of turkey for lunch.
Exactly. Well, in my house, you might. So they're collections of recipes which are different. Which take for example our IIS cookbook, right? Where there's a cookbook that allows you to, if you just run it by default, it will stand up IIS with some basic features. Then there's a recipe in there for configuring the management console. There's a recipe in there for configuring different websites and various things. So depending on what you want to do, you might use one recipe or a combination of recipes to get there. And so the cookbook is just a convenient delivery mechanism for that.
Okay. So if we have a look at how it looks like.
Yep. So a recipe is basically this. I mean, you'll see a list of resources, and as we talked about in the previous module, we have resources have a type, which is that first thing. So like in the first resource there, we have a type of package. And then it has a name, and in this case, HAProxy.
Let's take my pen so we can highlight the name of the package.
Yep. So with at least that name and type, we can start doing things. And then inside of, there's that do and end block right after the name. Inside of that, we can put additional metadata, like we see in the template.
The action.
We actually have an action. Inside template, we point to the source template. We have some file ownership permission. We have some other actions that happen. But that's the structure of it. So we have a package resource first, then we have a template resource, then the service resource. Now, in Chef, in a lot of config management systems, order is not implied. And you have to add some metadata to give a hierarchy. Well, in Chef, order is implied. The order in which you declare resources is the order in which they are applied. And to me, this is that principle of least surprise. If I say install HAProxy first before you put the configuration file in place, I expect it to be installed first, and then I can put the configuration file in place. Now, if I know ahead of time that I have to do some dependencies, okay, fine. But it's just this, I first want to install the package, then I create the config file. Then I'm going to tell the service, hey, you need to be started. So resources are applied in order. Order is a very important part of how systems are set up. And so that's just a concept I want to make sure that we definitely take home, is that order. Order is important. The order in which you declare recipes in a run list is important. The order in which, order is always important.
Which means you have to understand what you're doing to make sure you get the right order.
So this could be the fact that, you know, before I got into IT, I actually trained to be a cop, and so I'm a law and order kind of guy. So, you know, order is important. So order.
Okay, it follows you.
So, yeah. So you know, once we have that down, then we can move on to, you know, understanding the next concepts.
Okay.
So next up, you know, after we've got a hand that resources belong to recipes. Recipes belong in cookbooks. And these things all describe structural. In every case we've talked about so far, we've kind of hard-coded those values. And in our example recipes, you know, every value was filled out. Well, all of that stuff can be substituted. And it's substituted by attributes, which can either come from that cookbook, because cookbooks can contain attributes. Other cookbooks, so you can create like a wrapper cookbook, where its sole purpose is to provide your specific data to that community cookbook, for example. You can also include those attributes in roles and environments. And so those are ways that we can get additional data into those recipes as they run.
Why don't we put our hand on it and look deeper on how that works?
Sure. Before we do that, just last bit, the data bags that I mentioned there.
Super important.
That's the other way that we can provide data that's not specifically tied to a node. And data bags offer a way that we can pass around encrypted data. So that's a key thing to remember.
Yeah, for passwords, for example?
Exactly. Passwords, certificates, basically anything that we don't want floating out in the clear. So, yeah, let's get our hands on this.
Yeah.
All right, so we are going to actually create a new cookbook. And our ChefDK provides us with some tooling to do this type of thing. And one of the commands that we have is chef. Chef provides some generators. So I want to say chef generate repo.
Okay.
And if I do this, it's going to, I have to go to name. We'll call my MVA repo.
MVA.
So what this does is it scaffolds out some structure for me. So let's do I'm gonna change directories into that MVA directory. And what it does is it creates a folder structure. It has config folder, it has certificates, cookbooks, data bags, environments, roles. And right now I really care about cookbooks. So I'm going to chef generate myself. I'm going to generate myself a cookbook.
Okay.
And I want to generate a cookbook that's going to let us install a default PowerShell profile.
Sounds good.
Because, hey, I'm a PowerShell guy, and you know, I like having some standard stuff available when I log into my shell. So we're going to generate a cookbook, and I'm going to call it PowerShell Profile.
Sounds reasonable.
I thought so. I'm a reasonable kind of guy. So if we go, let's take a look here. So it created it here. I really want it in my cookbooks directory, so I'm just going to move it.
Okay, that's fine.
So I should have changed directories into cookbooks.
You should have gone to the cookbook directory and then generate the directory structure from there.
So, using my handy dandy command line tools, I can move that folder. So now it's gone. Mm-hmm. Change directory to my cookbooks, and I've got my PowerShell profile. So what was actually created in that structure, right? Let's take a look. It's going to be easier to look at in my text editor, and this is one of the reasons that I keep harping on the fact that we want to have a good text editor. Mm-hmm. A good text editor, in my opinion, has the capability to do some like directory browsing as well, because we spend so much time in this land. So let's take a look here. So I've got my MVA repository here. I've got my cookbooks directory, my PowerShell profile. And it created this folder, and there's a default recipes.
Okay, yeah. Default.rb sounds default.
Yeah. So let's work with that. So it actually scaffolded out some basic header information for me. But for my resource, we're gonna keep this pretty simple and use resources that we've talked about in earlier modules. We're gonna use the file resource. And one of the things, so we're going to tell it to go to C, Windows System 32, Windows PowerShell, v1.0 profile.ps1. So this is where the system specific profile for all PowerShell instances lives. And so we're going to create a file there. My text editor is trying to be helpful and scaffold some stuff out for me. And I want content to be this is going to be new syntax for us here. PowerShell profile content. So we're going to use an attribute to provide this information to our profile.
Right?
Okay. So one of the common patterns is attributes. When a cookbook is executed against a node, the attributes that it contains are loaded into that node, right? So we've talked a bit about attributes before. But cookbooks can distribute attributes, and we're going to create the attributes in just a second. They're referenced because they're associated with the node. And by convention, we create a hierarchy of namespacing for them. And we tend to, and we'll use the cookbook name prefixed to be the first node in that tree of.
Is it a best practice?
It's a best practice.
Yeah, it's not mandatory to use that approach, but it's best practice.
Yep, exactly. Because attributes, they're collected as part of that node, and they're reported up to the chef server, so we'll be able to see on the chef server the result of that.
And you want to be able to search through them and understand where they apply, and that's why the naming convention is important.
Exactly. And you also, and you don't want to have collisions with other people's. So if you're using community cookbooks, you don't want to have your content override somebody else's content. So you want to qualify them, and that makes it easier to find, easier not to step on somebody else. So we need a attributes folder.
So that attribute folder you're creating manually.
I'm creating that manually. Now there is another way to create this cookbook from the knife command, and that will actually scaffold out more stuff than chef generate will do, like kind of the minimal, and knife will generate it from the top level of your repository. Mm-hmm. So I could do knife cookbook create test, right? So this is going to create a cookbook called test for me, and we can see that it dropped it out here, and it scaffolds out a lot more folders.
It has the attribute, it has libraries, providers, it has more content.
So knife cookbook create is kind of the old style. Chef generate is kind of, we're moving to the newer style, and the generators are all customizable. So we start with kind of with a minimal approach, and then you can add on as you
add. If you know you're going to use attributes every single time you create a cookbook,
then you add that to your default generate, or you have you have it run an attribute generator after that. So there's things there. So what we're going to do is we're going to create our attributes folder.
Write cookbook. We don't want to do it in test.
Nope. No, we're going to full name. Now, one thing to note, if you're used to working in PowerShell, things are case insensitive. When you're working in Chef and Ruby, It is case sensitive.
It is case sensitive, yeah. It comes from the, I'd say, the open source history in Linux environments.
Yeah, Linux environments are case sensitive. Now, it's not just that. Like, if you work in C Sharp, that's case sensitive.
That's true, yeah.
So, you know, PowerShell goes through some gyrations to be case insensitive, but when you're working in Chef, it is case sensitive. So it's usually a good idea to go lowercase. All right, so now I've got my
attribute directory.
And so we're going to create a file here, and I'm just going to quick steal a look back. All right, there we go. There we are. Ah, so we're going to create a file in here.
Mm-hmm.
New file, and we are just going to say default, because default is the order of precedence. PowerShell profile content.
And then you define
whatever content I
want to have
in there.
Want to have there.
So if I always wanted to load the server manager module, I can. So that's what my content is going to be. And it's also going to write out, this is one of the other Ruby idioms, is a here string. Like, so I can define multi-line content. The EOH is just an identifier, so it can bookend either side. And so I'm going to import server manager, and I'm going to
something decimalized.
We'll keep it gender neutral. All right, and let's save this as profile.rb. And
so if we go back to our cookbook, to our recipe.
So now we should have enough here to create our recipe. So the next thing we have to do is I'm going to actually move this into another repository, this cookbook, because I have that cookbook all wired up to talk to my Chef server.
Oh yeah, you need to upload that to your Chef server at one point.
So if I was actually doing this locally, I would actually be spinning up some other virtual environments. But I have just like in cooking shows, where they have kind of that other thing in the oven. I've got something else here so that we can just move this.
Pre-staged.
Exactly. So we are going to move this folder. So let's see. MV.
So basically what you have done before is done some wiring and connection to make sure that it works, and we just save time by doing that.
Yep. So I basically have certificate set up for authentication against the server and that kind of thing. So, and this is the type of stuff that would actually be done if you go through, we have a great walkthrough on learnchef.com, mm-hmm. and it walks you through kind of the whole process of just getting functional as Chef, and all the wiring that I'm doing, they talk about it there. So, okay, we're going to move this to, we want to go up a level and then to Azure, Chef Repo, cookbooks. All right, let's see if it changed there. So now, in this repository here, mm-hmm. I've got a bunch of cookbooks.
Oh yeah.
Or a couple of cookbooks. And so we have Starter, for example. That's one that gets, if you use the Chef Starter Kit out of the management console. You'll get some basic stuff to start out with, right? So here's our PowerShell profile. I just moved it over.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to upload that to the Chef server.
Okay.
So I would like to, let's see. I need to change my directories over to that chef repository.
Yeah, because what we've done so far is we've worked locally on our machine, which is great. We write our recipes, we write our code. Now we are going to upload that to Chef servers so that our nodes can consume the policy.
Exactly. And what I am going to do now is knife cookbook upload. Mm-hmm. PowerShell profile. Now that wiring that we talked about tells it where to upload it and how to authenticate and everything. So part of the process of uploading, it does a little check, does a little validation, make sure everything's kind of relatively sane and not missing a quote somewhere or anything like that.
Oh, yeah.
So there's some syntax checking and things that happen.
Yeah, I was going to say sanity check, but more like syntax.
Yep. Yeah. And so now we've got that cookbook created. We've got it uploaded to the chef server. Let's actually see if it's actually on that chef server.
So we are right now on the chef management console.
This is the chef management console. So this is what is available from manage.chef.io. This is our hosted one, but this is also the management console that you get with the premium features.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, if you're doing like trial environments, if you have under 25 nodes, you can run the premium features for free. So if you wanted to spin this up locally, you could locally within a little test environment.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a node registered here,
yep.
Chef MVA00. It's a Windows node. And I'm going to edit its run list. Now I could do this through the command line. I could do this here. I want to find my PowerShell profile.
So it shows you all the different policies that are available, and mm-hmm. then you can filter by typing, and it just does a search.
Yep.
And what you're going to do is you select that policy, apply it.
Yep. So I promised in that very intro, session zero that we did, that there'd be a little bit of GUI, a little bit of pretty stuff to look at, and the management console is one of those things. All of the stuff I'm doing here, I can do through the command line, so I can automate it. But just to give you a little different look at it,
mm-hmm.
we're doing it here in the UI. So I'm going to assign a run list, which in this case is just going to be one recipe. But then I could assign more in a row, and it's going to happen
in the order that you specify.
Right. So the other convention that I want to call out here is this is the name of my cookbook. If it's a default recipe, I don't have to qualify what recipe to run. If I just specify the cookbook name, it knows to do the default recipe. If I wanted to use a specific recipe, we actually have a convention. So you would say, like for in the case of Apache here, if you wanted to run the log rotate recipe, you do cookbook name :: recipe name. So if you're not running, so Apache 2 would run the Apache 2 default. Apache 2 :: log rotate runs a log rotate recipe, which may or may not call default. So now we've got this up on our chef server. Let's go to our manage node
mm-hmm.
and run it.
Okay.
And see what happens. So I am on a node in Azure. Let's make sure my RDP session is still live. It's dropped out on me a couple times today. So I'm in PowerShell.
Uh-huh.
I have Chef Client. We'll prove that.
Just Chef.
Chef Client. Hey, there it is. So let's run Chef Client and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So Chef Client is written in Ruby. Ruby tends to be a little slow on Windows to get started because it's an interpreted language. So, it can seem a little slow. It's not too bad. And as your policies grow, the increased lag is not as noticeable. Excuse me.
And it's just applying the policy. It's not like it runs all the time.
Yep.
It is at the time it applies the policy on the node.
It's grabbing an old policy there. Sorry. It's getting ahead of itself. Desktop, please. Yes, please. Thank you. Let's make sure that saved my run list. It did not. I didn't hit save. I just exited it out. All right. So, most important thing: if you are changing the run list,
you need to save it.
Yes. Save run list. Now I'm going to refresh my management page just to verify that it did save. Okay, it saved.
Now we have the right policy, the right.
You
run
can
list.
Confirm that.
Yeah, I can confirm.
All right, let's go back and try this again. Let's clear the screen so we're not looking at all this extraneous content. I just saw a lot more stuff downloading than really.
It didn't look like it was supposed to be.
No. So now I'm running Chef Client again. And we see this little warning about SSL validation. You can turn SSL validation on. It's just a setting in the config file. I have it off here just because I didn't put the setting in.
Yeah.
but it gives you a warning, say, hey, by the way. So now we can see down here at the bottom, it removed the cookbooks that it didn't need, mm-hmm. that it had started to download. And now we can see it updated the content.
Yep.
See Windows System 32.
Yep.
So let's see. Does that file actually exist?
I suspect that it exists.
If Windows.
It does what we were supposed to be doing.
System 32, Windows PowerShell, V1, profile, the PS1. So test path will allow me to check if it's there. It says false. Excuse me. Oh no. Is this unexpected? No, it's not. So we are in a 64-bit shell. Chef Client is a 32-bit process.
So that explains why.
So it actually got redirected to that syswow 64 mm-hmm. directory, yep. or syswow 32. So if we want to write to a 64-bit file, we need to use a sysnative redirector.
Correct.
If you run PowerShell commands, and we're improving the support all the time, but right now the file resource, the template resource, those things are redirected on the 32-bit paths. So you need to be aware of that. So it actually did create it, but it created it in a different location. We can fix our cookbook very quickly. By changing, I should actually make sure I've got the right file now because we moved it.
It is in the
recipes, yep. default. Let's open that one up. And if I change this to sysnative, save it. And
you upload the cookbook again.
Yep, just upload the cookbook again. Then if I reapply it, we'll end up getting
the. Having the file in the right location.
So as long as I don't change the version number on my cookbook, mm-hmm. whatever I upload will overwrite what's there. If I change the version number, I will have the old version and the new version available.
And then that allows you to specify which version you want to apply.
Exactly. I can specify by environment. I can specify version constraints in my cookbooks as far as what to reference. And so let's get that applied. And that will set our stage very well for the next module.
Aha.
So let's see which.
Let's see. Let's apply it. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
And while the Chef client gets executed, how often is the policy refreshed on the node?
So that's totally customizable. I believe the default is every 15 minutes or every half an hour. Mm-hmm. When you actually install Chef Client, there's an option to install the service. And if you don't install the service, it will only run when you run it. And when you run it interactively or through task scheduler or something like that. If you install the service, there is a Chef Client cookbook, which helps manage that service a lot easier. So use Chef to manage Chef.
Yeah.
And
makes sense.
And so it's customizable. You can have it run on what schedule you want. Every 15 minutes is, I think, it's a little frequent, but it depends on the environment, how quickly that environment changes. And you can always manually go and kick off the service and tell it to run. If you need to, you could use an invoke command and scale out to a bunch of machines and tell them, hey, I'll run because I need you guys to get updated right now.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it checks back on the schedule. We can see it ran. It added some stuff there. Let's make sure our file is present. We'll do our test path. Now it exists. One last thing for this demo. I mentioned those attributes get indexed. They get sent up to our Chef client or our manage node. And we can see right here at the top, we have this PowerShell profile.
That is the attribute that you have set up into the cookbook.
Exactly. And so we can see those attributes. So any of the attributes that get added by our cookbooks are indexed and are available as part of the data around that node.
Okay, very good. Wow, that's a good demo. So we've seen in this module how we create a cookbook. We've seen how we apply the cookbook. We've even seen some characteristics of applying cookbooks on Windows.
Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned for the next module. In the next module, we're going to see how you manage the Azure infrastructure with Chef. And that's going to be a heavily demo-oriented module as well.